Hey, just for reference, if you guys want to keep, just keep a pin in Luke 11, because we're going to be going back and forth between Luke 11 and then several other verses. So I'm so glad you're here this evening, and thank you for taking the time out of your schedule, out of this beautiful summer evening, to come here tonight. So you guys had a chance to submit quite a few questions. Gotta tell you, there's some humdingers in there. I'm gonna tell you, for the humdingers, I want you to make a note. I'm just gonna get out there in the very beginning so that I don't forget to do this, because it's really important. Just without getting into the nitty-gritty and causing anyone to feel uncomfortable, I asked Brett, I said, wow, okay, we've got some pretty, like, really good questions, but they have to do with pornography, and they have to do with some serious things. So I said, I know, I don't want to have to talk about that stuff. And he said, no problem, you don't have to. You just tell the ladies, there's links to Ironworks, there's one teaching that it's called accountability, and there's a couple others. We're going to get those up for you on the Athey Women website. Amy and Becca are working on that. And so there's a couple of really good teachings. But just so you guys know, we'll just get this out there, and then that way, tuck it away. And you can tell this to anybody you talk to, and any of our online later people who are listening, just know that there's sort of a three-prong approach to the situation that happens with those who get really caught up in pornography. So the first thing is, there has to be accountability. And that's, again, that Ironworks study, they review this. So Athey Creek, though, as a church, what we suggest is, if your child does have a problem with that, you're going to go, as a parent, the first thing is, you and your husband need to be on the same page. If that is a problem, because I said, well, what about if it's a dumb dad? What if it's a dumb dad? And he's like, well, dumb dads are a thing. So if it's a dumb dad, then that mom needs to go to a pastor and seek help in that way. And then we have great pastors here who can help, helping with the accountability, helping set up those situations. And then after that, if it actually is something that is like borderline, you know, like we have a real psychological situation that you have to deal with, then that pastor can really help you to be guided into really good counseling. So if you have any further questions about that, in addition to what we're going to post for you, the Titus 2 moms, if you guys could raise your hands tonight. So these gals, after we're done, and not just about that question. No one's going to think you're going there to talk to your child about your child's addiction to porn. But the Titus 2 moms are going to be in the back of the walls to go for prayer, to go for follow-up counsel, for questions on everything that we're going to talk to. So I just got the hard thing out of the way. Now I get to do the fun thing. Talk about Jesus. So let's do that. So in your Bibles, if you guys can, why don't you go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 9. As parents of junior high through high school, and maybe beyond, maybe you have kids who are, some of them already flew the coop, you know, I understand there can be a fine line. You truly weigh out the opportunity cost of how much time in jail it will cost you if you actually physically, violently hurt your child that's going through high school and giving you a hard time. I know this because I've thought the thoughts. I've sinned the sin. It's in my heart just as much as it is yours. So when I was gathering information about this age group, I thought, I'm so glad my kids are grown, first of all. But then I had to think about the challenges that you face. And really, there is, you know, in literature, they talk about universality, right? So this is not universalism like a universalist. That's not what we're talking about. But what it has to do with the application of things that every mom struggles with, things that every household struggles with, whether you have girls or whether you have boys, there are some basics that you just can't avoid if you're going to actually really go after it and make sure that you and your kids are on the same page. So a few of those things we're going to talk through scripture hopefully will really help kind of give you that steadfastness and that assurance and that strength to know that, okay, all right, I'm grounded. I know what my plan is, and if you are married, most of you are in this room. If you're not, again, going to a pastor to seek that help to make sure that, okay, I'm tracking, I'm theologically sound. And then you've got excellent teaching here at this church and so many others, right? But so the first thing you want to do is make sure that you yourself, that you're spiritually grounded. But after you're taken care of, you've got to make sure that your child's spiritually grounded. So we did get a few questions in that said, how do I share the gospel with my child? And the first thing that came to mind was, you got to live it. But don't mistake that. And we'll talk about this through scripture in a little while from what Jesus said. Don't mistake living out the gospel for living your life perfectly, because they are two very, very different things. And thank the Lord we have a Savior who gets us. Okay, so I just want to read to you what Jesus said in Matthew 9, verse 13. He said, now go and learn what this means. I desire compassion rather than sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So as moms, if you're doing terrible, this is such a great scripture for you. If you're feeling like you really do want to actually cause some pain to your child because of a really rough day, you can say, oh, wait a second, hold on. I'm a sinner. My child's a sinner. Thankfully, the Lord desires compassion. I don't have to have this scale of perfection in my household. Wow, phew, got through that day. So that's like phase one, okay? So let's just say there's two different moms, and there's kind of a spectrum here, and there's a spectrum for kids as well. So there's the mom that's over here that says, I'm doing good. I taught my kids the scriptures. I did this. Oh, yeah, my kids know this. They got this reward. Mm-hmm. They're getting their A's. They're doing this. All the way over to this mom who's like, wow, my kid's addicted to everything. My kid's this went wrong. I tried to do this. Or I'm lousy. I'm such a loser. I am not accepted. I don't stand. I don't fit. So you've got this huge spectrum. Even in this room, that is our spectrum. We've got people who are way over here who feel like they are always on the outs. They will never be enough. They will never measure up. And you've got these people over here who are, frankly, a little bit on the Pharisee side. And the thing is, we all have that tendency, all of us. There are days where I wake up and I think, I am so over here. And there are days where, thankfully, the Holy Spirit catches me and says, No, you are not over here. Right in the middle is where we want to be, and that's the cross of Christ. We cling to the cross of Christ. That's the biggest way you can live out the gospel to your kids, is to remind them on the days when you've messed up, wow, you guys, I am so sorry. Mommy is sorry for my behavior. And if your kids are older, you don't probably say mommy. Actually, I have one child who still calls me mommy. She says mama, but actually, Joey calls me mama too, so I like it. But so we'll say mama. And they all spell mama different. There's M-A-M-A. There's M-O-M-M-A. It's funny. It's sweet. I love it. So that should be a new shirt that we have, all the mom names, all the ways you can spell our names with mom, mama, all that stuff, because it's so heartfelt. But anyway, you know, we can go to our kids with great freedom and apologize for our actions. It's really important that we do that. Because number one, it shows your kids not just that you're human, because by this age, by high school age, they know you're human. They not only know you're human, they've out-tricked you, outsmarted you, they've figured it out, and they're planning their next thing, right? And so you have to be so far ahead of them, and you fail, and so they know you fail, right? So just everybody just be honest. Just be honest. That's the quickest way, is to just be very kind and gracious, but don't ever be afraid to go to your kids and apologize for your own bad behavior. It's just another way that you can live out that idea that you're really trying to teach them, and that is the humility that they need to have to come to Jesus. Because you do have to drop everything when you come to the Lord with your sin. So just moving on a little bit, all right? No one is good. We know this. We don't want to be Pharisees in our thinking. You know, we know exactly. Our kids also can be on the spectrum where they're like, I'm awesome. Mom thinks I am awesome, so I am awesome. And they need to learn that they are also sinners. But you're the one that gets to communicate for your sin, because sometimes they recognize it so heavily that they flop over here, and they're like, I am a loser. I am such a loser. I'm the loser of all time loser. Like, no one else sins. Like, I am the only loser. And you have to swing them back to the cross and say, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Read through the book of Romans. Read through the book of Galatians. Read through the book of Ephesians. Read the book of Philippians. Read the Gospels. And get yourself centered on the cross, and then all of these little decisions will become a lot easier. I'm not going to say they're super easy, but they will become easier because the Lord gives us strength through his word, right? It's nutrition. It is actually our spiritual nutrition. So that's the number one. That's the biggie. That covers a lot of territories. So now let's talk about truth, because one of the big things that kids struggle with today is just this idea that everything's up for grabs as far as what it is that they are going to actually plant themselves on, okay? And there can be kids in our church. It's so good that you're here tonight because we want to get to this. Many of you went to the ladies' retreat that we had and learned a lot about apologetics, and keep on doing that. Keep on being a defender of the faith. Your kids are the ones who are going to be your greatest challenge, you know, because they themselves will have a spiritual crisis, okay? Maybe someone here tonight is in the middle of a spiritual crisis. And this gets to some of the questions that were asked about attitude, but also hormones. Oh, these things are like a basket weaving class. I mean, it's like, whoop, there's a hormone, whoop, there's this, whoop, there's an attitude. Whoop, whoop. Thankfully, what's beautiful is, what does it say in the Bible? We are his workmanship, created for good works in Christ. So yes, we're this crazy tapestry, and it's like string going everywhere, and there's knots, and it's just terrible. Like, it doesn't seem like it makes sense. But when you lift up a really pretty tapestry, you see the pattern, and you see that, wow, this like took a lot of extra work here, and this was allowed to stay straight. Oh, and this knot was like this, and then another pattern, and like it all makes sense when you see it. But we don't have that view. Sometimes we're stuck just right here. And your kids are also stuck just right here. And they don't know that they're actually going to be completed in their work. So part of what you get to do as a parent of a kid who is in middle school and in high school, if you're not homeschooling and your kids are in public school, you've got triple the work. And we also have resources for you for that. It doesn't matter. Homeschool, private school, public school, your kids are being challenged. There's nothing you can do to change that. Just admit it, accept it, and now let's deal with it, okay? How do you deal with lies? I'm just going to tell you a quick story. So Brett's sisters worked in a bank, and this bank had a lot of robberies. It was kind of crazy how often. It almost got robbed as much as the one that's in Sherwood that used to get robbed all the time. Never could figure out why they didn't quite fix that problem, but it used to get robbed quite often. But those girls had to count money, and they were taught to count real money. Money, 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 money. By counting and touching the real money, they were able to see the counterfeit. That's your challenge, is to make your kids so familiar with the word. And I mean, interlace it in the novels that they're reading. In our home, that was when I put a stop to everything, was when I saw the atrocious, really mind-melding literature that was going into my daughter's mind in the 7th grade and how depressed it made her feel. One option that we did was pulled her out for half day homeschool for 8th grade to allow her brain to have positive literature, to have really good challenging literature, but positive literature, so that her mind could actually do a little reset. You know, I needed to be able, it was Brooke, and we did that with it was so successful that we did it with all of our kids. It was an excellent reset. It actually allowed me to teach them all of history, real history, and it actually really, really helped them to just kind of be really secure at home for 1 year before going off into high school. Casey was a little bit different story. She did half day, 8th grade with me, other half at public school. She did 9th grade, and with her, it was interesting because, I mean, this is me at home, right? This is me at home. Okay, homeschooling anyone? Any takers? Any takers? Huh? 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 Because I'd hear all the nightmare stories of what they were getting in public school, and I'd be like, oh, are you serious? I mean, we wonder why kids have such a trouble with, you know, pornography addiction when they're reading, like literally reading the most atrocious things in their AP, history or AP English classes. So Casey brought home this, I don't even want to elevate the author's name, but prominent author, very pro all the stuff, okay, and very not holding back in the book, okay, and so I'm like, oh my word, it took me 2 seconds to flip open and get a full scale, way past health 101 information of what was going on in that book, and this was a justified, taxpayer funded book, bunch of crud, And so she was just like laboring through this book, and it was horrible. And she just said, "Mom, is there any way that I could homeschool?" And I said, "You betcha, babe." So we got her out of there, and she, for that, her 10th grade year, I'm just telling this for options, 10th grade year, pulled her out of that literature, did all the ABECA curriculum for 8th grade. By the time we were 10th grade, we selected Sunlight. Okay, so there's homeschool moms in this group that can help you with all that kind of stuff. I see someone out there that used My Father's World. I mean, there's just all kinds of different options for us. So ABECA ended up being such a sovereign thing by God's hand in moving Casey out of public school, because instead of going through 5 or 6 books a year, she went through about 45 books in that 1 year. And it created a love for reading for her. She learned so much. It was very conversational. Sunlight curriculum is built in a way that helps you. You're literally going to communicate with your child every day, because they give you the prompts, they give you the questions. You don't have to go through those 45 books. A lot of them you've probably already read. But like in my case, it was just the best thing ever. And what did that do for Casey? By the time she was in 11th grade, she did all full-time homeschooling. I let her blow up stuff at school for 10th grade. I was like, yeah, take chemistry, blow stuff up there, and also take advanced culinary arts, because that's going to teach you how to survive, right? Like that, those are good things. Let's do that, blow up stuff and cook good food, right? So she, to this day, is an amazing cook, really a great chef. So she did all that. 11th grade, she was home full-time, again, Sunlight. And then, you know, when she tested into PCC for her senior year, she tested higher than the other two for math. Higher. So don't let people tell you homeschool is no school. That's not true. Her math curriculum and stuff that we used, it taught her facts. It was not based on any, you know, sort of interpretation of anything. It was just, it is what it is, you know. So I want to really encourage you to know your child, and don't shy away from teaching them the truth. Okay, and we'll talk about that in just a second. And then just to finish up with Casey, when she completed PCC, then she transferred over to Corbin, got her degree there, and then later got her master's at George Fox, and now she's a teacher in your district. Yeah, so she is already a 4th grade teacher, but now she's turning over into 5th grade. She said when she got to college, she said, "Mom, I had zero learning curve because of Sunlight. Because of that amount, that rigidity of reading and that schedule." Her schedule in terms of reading, that the biggest thing that so many kids just fail when they do go on to higher learning, it was not even a thing for her. It just wasn't at all. So I just want to encourage you, if you have a child who you sense really does need to be pulled from school, don't shy away from that. Like, there's no reason to be fearful. We just have so many opportunities now with kids, and it's proven in our family that it can be a much, much better way to go. So I want to tell you that. As far as the truth goes, what did Jesus say? Okay, so we got to look at Psalm 40, verse 11. I'm going to go through a few scriptures, so be okay with just writing these things down, and I'll read them, and then just look at them later. But I'm saying these things to you just to share with you how that confidence that you can have in knowing the truth and standing on the truth, okay? So in Psalm 40, verse 11, it says, "You, Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your mercy and your truth will continually watch over me." That's the truth. And that applies to you as a mom, but it also applies to your kids. You can take the Bible at its word. And part of what your job is, especially during this age where they're becoming independent, but they really still need you, you know, like they think they don't need you, but they actually can't live without you. And it's such a conundrum, because they actually, you don't want kids to be homeless. We actually do have a homeless problem with teenagers in our state. It's the saddest thing. And you don't want that. You don't want like the temperatures to get so hot and things to get brimmed so much that you feel like that is actually the only alternative, is to let them go. We don't want kids to get to that place. And sadly, it does happen. Now, I'm not opposed to you, you know, maybe suggesting that you're going to set up a cot maybe in the garage or in the backyard for a couple days if they can't straighten out their attitude. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we did that. Maybe we didn't. So just saying, you got to use every alternative you can, because you don't want them to die, but you don't want to kill them. So Psalm 145, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." That is huge. That is huge for you to teach your kids by living out the gospel. Hey, we're calling on the Lord right now, honestly. We're calling on him in truth. We are being honest about our mess ups here. We're being honest about our anger problem or whatever this situation is. We're being honest about our attitude. You understanding between you and the Lord what that looks like is going to make it so much easier for you to talk to your kids and help them understand, okay, what God wants from me is a relationship. It's based on compassion. The justice has already been served at the cross, and so now I can be free to come to him. Does that make sense? Okay, in Proverbs verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 7, for my mouth will proclaim truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. The question is, does your son or daughter have a clear picture of truth? You've got to communicate with your kids. I can't answer that for you. You have got to dig it out of them. That's your number one thing. Where do your kids land when it comes to what their perception is of truth? So now let's look at Jesus for a second. In Luke 20, verse 21, he taught on the basis of truth. In John 1, verse 14, he is full of grace and truth. In John 1, verse 17, the law was based on Moses, but grace and truth was through Jesus. In John 8, 32, the truth will set you free. And so that helps us get to the next topic, and that is what every kid wants is total freedom. So let's talk about freedom for a second. Freedom. The actual Merriam-Webster says, it's the quality or state of being free. Okay, then it says, you know how in the definitions it'll say A, B, C, D, E, F, G, stuff like that. It says, the absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. How many times do your kids accuse you of being that? I mean, let's just be real. It's just kind of funny how much kids don't know what you're doing. They're actually not free, but they think they want to be free. They can't be completely liberated. They want to be, but they can't be. So you have a physical need for them to be in your home, but they also have a spiritual need to make sure that they're truly free. So those two things are huge. And then you've got the psychological component, and that's a whole nother reason why the longer you can fight to keep your kids from getting involved, and some of the questions that came up, you know, when do you stop having overnighters? I say never have an overnighter with opposite sex, you know, even with same sex. No, my house, everybody's in bed by 9, that's the rule, that's it. I mean, in this day and age, you cannot vet your kids and their parents enough. You can't. I would say in this group, if you talk to our children's pastor, Nate, or any of the people that are helping him, they're going to be your best asset in terms of actually really like the trustworthiness of parents. Because those parents who are sending their kids off to camp, and those parents that are actually in the rooms, that are volunteering their time and they're teaching Sunday school, those people have been vetted. Any counselors, anything like that, they've been vetted so much. And you can have so much confidence in that, you know. And if there is any kind of problem or accountability, it's going to be just nipped in the bud. I would maybe consider, when my kids were younger, maybe same sex, having a sleepover with those families. Never in my life would I have opposite sex in junior high and high school. Are you joking? So that's just, nope. That's the answer to that question. So I want to go through a couple of things as far as another aspect of freedom. Unrestricted use. Okay, that's Merriam-Webster. It's unrestricted use. So in your mind, right? So a kid, of course, in 2 seconds now with phones. Ding-ding. Oh, unrestricted use. Yeah, I'm free. I'm 18. I get unrestricted use. No. In our house, we said, okay, who's paying for that phone? Oh, okay, it's my phone, so hand it over. At any time, we can have an audit on your texts, what you're seeing, where you're surfing, whatever, okay? At any time. I want to talk to you a little bit about what Brett and I like to call is the cards that are in your deck, okay? And I'll use an example that is a sad example. But this mother would tell you in a heartbeat, absolutely, we did it all wrong. So this mom had a dumb dad for a husband, okay? And he, no one knew until after, way later in their life, that he had been abused as a man, as a young child, handsome little kid, and he'd been abused. He stuffed that down, stuffed that down, stuffed that down, stuffed that down with alcohol. And that alcohol put such a wedge between their marriage. And then there was a face that looked this way at church, but there was a face that looked this way at home. And that little child saw that. That little child looked to that man to be her representative of God, and she was confused. And to this day, she is still confused. And we pray that she would come back to the Lord, understanding that Daddy was fallen. He was a sinner, and we can allow grace for that, okay? Now, what happened was, sorry about the click. I hear about the click. Can you hear it? Sorry, it's an earring. I could take it off. Should I? Raise your hand if you want me to. Okay, good. I checked. So this sweet, sweet family, we were dear friends with them, you know, and for years we didn't know that there was such a deep problem with drugs and alcohol. And you didn't know. That's the thing, you guys. Jesus talks about this, and we're going to go to Luke 11 in a minute, and we're going to read about this. There is a false light that's put out, you know, even your body. And Jesus says, beware that you do not have a false light on you. So this is your job right now as moms is, you know, you're going through and you've got to figure out what about the way I'm living right now is representing a false reality to my child about God. And if there is something that you need to wean or weed out of your life, go to the Lord in truth, like we just read, and ask him, and he'll give you the strength to change. It might be so hard sometimes. There's certain things you don't want to give up, but it's okay. We have each other. That's the big lie, is that you are alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. You have God. We have one another in our friendships. We've got these amazing women who are wisdom. I mean, add it all up. It's like, I don't know, 800 years of wisdom all, you know, right in the front row. So, like, you've got a lot of wisdom and a lot of life and a lot of hard lessons learned and really, really tough things. But let me tell you about this child. So, the compensation was to buy things, and whatever this little girl wanted, you can have it. You can have this, and you can have this, and you can have this, and this, and this, and it'll be the best, and this, and this, and everything's great, and we're polished and looking good and happy. So junior high comes, and of course you can dye your hair, and of course you can get ear piercings, and of course you can totally do whatever. At the time, that was just looking goth was it, you know, and so that, of course you could do that. Of course you're just expressing yourself. But what was happening on the outside was one thing, but what was happening on the inside was the biggest gash, just the biggest gash. Now, we had a check in our heart and really had all of our kids, really, but we really had to separate from that friendship because it was getting so dark. And, you know, it's bad. The risk that you take for your own children is you have to fight for your own kids. And that was a hard thing in that friendship. So years went on, and high school happened. And this man, bless his heart, I mean, I adored him. He was so sweet. He was just so sweet, you know. Sober was great. Not sober, terrible. So in his sober time, they came to us, and now we're 16. Now we're 16, and we're driving, and we're going to places, and we're seeing boys at places, and we're doing this, and we're doing this. And Brett, clear as day, said, you bought her a car. Yep. So you're paying the insurance. Yep. So why aren't you taking the keys? It's your car. Well, you know, it's her car. No, it's your actual car. You literally purchased it. It's your car. And that idea of privilege and responsibility, just they were fearful. So tonight when I was preparing for you, you know, just to talk about these things, it's a big deal that you have to kind of shake out of yourself, and that is, am I afraid of my child? Am I afraid of being rejected by someone who's part of me, who shares half my DNA? Am I fearful that I'll get rejected by this child? And the answer in that situation was a 100% yes. And you can see why. She was clinging, the mom was clinging to this daughter. It was the only relationship she had. This man was off the deep end. He was clinging to them in a very weird way to just try to keep them in his life in a super, super dysfunctional way. And it ended up being terrible, you know. And they never did take the keys away, and she got worse and worse and worse, and it was so black and white to us. Like, wow, missed opportunity. So take those things that you have. Think about it. Right now, what you probably have, probably at least one phone is in the possession of your child, at least one. And if there's anything I could encourage you more, and this goes to some of the technology questions, pull back on the phone. That is so easy to do. Pull back on the phone, cancel the phone, make it just be a digit phone, no more nothing on there, like lose privileges. You know, definitely get the accountability plug-in stuff that is all over the place that you can have so that you know who, when, where, why, and how all of everything's going down on the phone. But do not be fearful of that child. Just reach down, take the phone, put it away in your purse. Just, it's easy. You're free. After that, you're liberated. So that's the real definition of freedom. A child who thinks they can do whatever they want and you give them whatever they want, that child is going down in flames. You are freeing them up by taking the burdens off of them. You got to think it more as, what am I burdening my child with? So think of it in terms of that. And I really think that you'll have a much easier time making these decisions. So now let's go on over to Psalm 119, because this is the big one. Anybody that went through the Psalm 119 study, and we do have the books available if you want to go through those on your own, you know, what does it say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So ladies, culture might say to do this and that, but it's thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And teach your kids. Don't be afraid to sit down and say, you know what, let's go through this chapter together. And just go through a few sentences every day at this age. Perfect, perfect. And just kind of chomp on it and just learn together. And then just say, are we actually maybe needing to talk about what it is to trust God? Are we really maybe having to talk about what sin is? And let's have a clear definition of that. Those are the things that come out if you can spend some time with your kids doing that. So Jesus talks about what's on the inside that counts. Let's go to Luke 11. Where he was getting questioned. Jesus was forsaken, you know, by all of his friends, and then he was left to die. So I don't think we ever, ever, ever need to truly be fearful of rejection when you look at what Jesus went through for us. Okay, let's look at chapter 11. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. That's, you know, set apart, and holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And some versions say, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You sing that song, we read it in scripture. You know, if your kids are confused about how to pray, just read it right here. Read it to them. And then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Oy vey, right? Here's the thing, Jesus said, I tell you, though he will mock it up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now think about this and apply it to your kids. Which of you fathers or mothers, if your son asks for a fish, will you give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, this chunk of scripture is just so applicable for us, right? Because it shows us by example that we need to not ever, ever stop asking the Lord. But we also need to demonstrate that to our kids. That we can say, you guys, these are the things that are on your heart. Okay, let's ask God. Let's, in faith, ask him about these things. I don't always know the timing to the questions that you have, but God does. Back to that tapestry picture. God does. He knows which part of this tapestry is in your life. So let's ask And let's keep asking. And then trusting God to know that He is going to give good things to our kids. And learning to teach our kids how to rely on the Holy Spirit. It's a huge act of faith. It's part of that transition that you go through from that total dependence to when they truly can leave and you feel confident that they are, wow, they're on their own. They're full of the Holy Spirit. They're walking in truth. They're not perfect, but they understand the cross and all the components that go with that. And God promises to supply all their needs. So we're good. You know, I mean, that's when you can really let them go. And it is a huge, huge process. And it is, I do not think it is unlike when you actually are pregnant and you transition and then you do deliver. I don't think it's unlike that. For those of you who had C-sections. But for everyone else who really had to do it the hard way, that transition is out of your control. And high school can feel like that. And junior high, adolescence can feel like that. Hormones can feel like that. You know, you're like shaky, shaky, shaky. There are certain things that happen that are out of your control. And then you can't get out of having the baby at that point. You know what I mean? Like, it is coming. And that can be both scary and exciting all at once. And that trusting God to give you something good at the end. That's what our whole life is. You know, we breathe our last, and then we have something good at the end. And we have seen so many people go through so many hard things with related to COVID. And these are hard trials and these are hard things. And these people that passed on, they had something hard and then they had something good at the end. And that's how you get through life. And kids in junior high and high school age don't necessarily want to be told that life is hard, but it is your responsibility to tell them so. And I think negligent if you don't teach them that. So let's keep going here in Luke chapter 11. Jesus was driving out a demon, this is verse 14, that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. Now, okay, isn't that something that a demon could be mute? I mean, come on. Most of the time you figure it's going to be screaming, it's going to be doing these radical things. This means psychological. This person couldn't speak, was bound by their mouth. This is when you pray for your kids and you're praying in the spirit and you're entering into spiritual warfare. Let's not forget, okay, that it's real. The battle is very real. And just because you can't hear it doesn't mean that that battle is not real. You've got to teach your kids this kind of stuff. It's just like, it's for real. Then it goes on where the Pharisees blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Some of them said, by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he's driving out demons. Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then they will be your judges, and the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. And then he gives an example. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather me scatters. Again, Jesus is our example, you know. Jesus is teaching us here how we cannot be divided. It is really crucial that truth is talked about in your home and that from younger ages, for those of you who have young kids, it matters at the youngest of time. You can't start soon enough to talk to your kids about the gospel and about the truth of Jesus and how he's trustworthy. Because when, not if, but when, they have something that comes at them that tries to divide your worldview, you have an answer for that. And that's going to help you guys not be divided as a family. It's super important as a mom and a dad. I mean, the enemy would like to just run right down the aisle and split up the groom and bride the day of the wedding, right? Just split them up. Let's not forget that there is a real enemy. And we need to teach our kids about that too. Because once your kids, once the lights go on for them in terms of spiritual warfare, it frees you up so much. It frees you up so much. It'll be such a load off. So pray that. Pray that the Lord will just bless you with that, for that knowledge and that wisdom. And then the Lord goes on to talk about judgment and how judgment is coming. And that's something that you need to be honest and talk to your kids about and say, yeah, mankind deserves judgment. Look in chapter 11 and all the things that talk about wicked generation and all of these things and how strong Jesus is in, he does not back down on judgment, and yet he took on the judgment of the world for us. So keep communicating that truth to your kids. And then in verse 33, it says, this is the part where we talk about light. Jesus says, no one lights a lamp and puts it in the place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. You know, when I was a younger Christian, I used to think about that, and I used to think, wow, isn't it something that so many people smoke pot because it like turns off their soul, you know? You just see it's like they're dead, you know? And I used to just think that when I was first a Christian, you know, it was illegal. Pot was illegal. Now it's legal, you know? So you have some talking to do with your kids about the destruction that can happen to their bodies, you know? And I know there's medical marijuana and all, blah, blah, blah. And CBD doesn't have any THC. I get it. I know. Okay, I know. But you have some work to do, because when your kids let their minds go, it's like the light goes off, you know? It's like Jesus knew what he was saying. I mean, it's like he knows. So I think you just can really share with your kids, like, you guys, all these drugs and all these things, like, look at these people, how zombied they are, and just help them to learn to be aware of what it looks like when someone is not on anything, and help them to learn that's where you get the real truth. Still a sinner, but like, this is where you're going to have an honest individual, someone who's completely off the rocker of drugs. They're not reliable, you know? And your kids are going to be adults, and they're going to be bosses someday, and they need to understand discernment and how to hire people and all that stuff. So it's like super, super important that we get that. So your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body's also full of light. When they are bad, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted as when the light of a lamp shines on you. And then Jesus, a few more verses, talks about just the woefulness to the Pharisee. And we talked about that earlier, but how Jesus calls them just so foolish for not seeing the wickedness of that hypocrisy and the things that they expected other people to do. They ruled over people and made monuments to people who slaughtered the prophets. Like, just the crookedness and the hypocrisy, Jesus saw right through that. And you know what? Your kids see right through the same thing that we do. They just plain old see it. So don't think they don't. They know, and they see it. They see it as clear as when Jesus is talking about it here. So just, again, just coming to the Lord in truth and asking God to help us with these things. Because Jesus says, woe to you. You're really like unmarked graves. It's like you're dead. Maybe on the outside there's something going on, but on the inside there's nothing. And Jesus says, the experts in the law, down in verse 46, woe to you because you load people down with burdens that they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. See, that's the kind of parenting that we don't want. The Bible says in the New Testament, Paul talks about children, obey your parents in the Lord, but parents, don't overburden your kids. You know, so it's up to you in your house, what's good for you in your home, how much freedom you want your kids to have. You know, and some of it's so obvious, you know, like, of course my kids can stay up later. It's summertime. Of course, you know, of course they maybe could sleep in because they have X number of hours to do their chores. There's just certain things like that that are no-brainers. But the stuff that's going to, you got to think, what's going to create darkness for them and what's going to rob their soul of the light that God wants to put in them? You know, and then I want to make sure and read, we went through and talked about the definition of a Pharisee, and that's just huge. I think it's just so important. But he says here, woe to you because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your forefathers who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your forefathers did. They killed the prophets, and you build their tombs. We talked about that. Oh, I want to get to the scripture because it was in the CSB that I had it, and then I switched, so I apologize. Hold on just a second, because then we're going to switch over to identity and getting to some of these questions. So, oh yeah, okay, so verse 35, it's where Jesus says to take care. It's just worded a little bit different. He says in verse 35, see to it then that the light within you is not darkness. That's what I wanted to share with you. You can have light in you that's actually darkness. And Jesus says that right here. And then you have to go, oh, wow, it's like he knew there was going to be new age. You know, well, of course, because it's from the devil and he fought them, you know. So, I mean, this is where the beauty of God's word and you teaching your kids to trust God and his word so that you can tell your kids, you guys, we don't want to have a false light in us. We don't want to have anything to do with that. And Jesus says to see to it then. He wants us to take care. Okay, now, the questions. Okay, we have a few questions here for you guys. All right, we've got some questions that have to do with technology. I think it's pretty safe to say that I'm not a technology fan. Now, unfortunately, the whole entire world disagrees with me, and we are stuck with it. So, as far as home cell, phone filtering and all that stuff, I think we basically went over that. If you really, really want help with that, I personally think that, see that man back there in the sound booth, David Frost? He knows all the tricks. Like, he is a techie guy. You got to find people that are tech, like, wizards. And the thing is, most of your teenagers are way ahead of you on this. And most of your four-year-olds are way ahead of you on this, okay? So you've got to find people that understand programming and all of that. So, and there's people who work for all the big companies, and they know how to program. Find those people and tell them, how do I shut off my phone? And they very graciously, David does it all the time for me, oh, first you do this, and then you do this. And he has to say that about 55 times to me, and then I finally get it. And then, you know, it's okay. And so that's all right. Don't be shy. You might be saving your kid's life here, you know. So, but my first option for you is don't ever get him a phone. And if you have to, really, it really should be emergency and just the digit phone, you know, and nothing to do with pictures. Nope, no pictures, sorry. And just be okay with being mean. As far as attitude, I think we kind of went over that, but a 15-year-old boy versus freedom and responsibility, I think we hit on that. I tried to incorporate that. Just really encouraging them to understand the difference between what true freedom is and what they're asking for. Because a lot of times they don't know. And you're the one that's the parent, and you have to go ahead and teach them, hey, what you're asking for is actually too much for you. It's too burdensome for you. How much do I push back on a kid when I want a clear answer on how she feels about something after I give her feedback and all I'm getting is, I'm fine, I'm done, I'm stop. And when I continue to press her for her true feelings, she freaks out. I think in that case, and these ladies will chip in and be glad to meet you in the back and talk to you more about this, but there is a time and a place for giving a child space. We also have some pretty sweet teachers in this room too, and those people are excellent resources as well, because when you have a classroom of 25, 28, 30 kids, you learn that each kid is different, and there's some kids that do really well with having a space that's safe, and other kids do extremely well being sent to the principal's office. Other kids do not want to have a note sent home to the parents. You know, all kids are different. So on this one, I think seek the Lord, ask counsel, go to one of the Titus 2 moms this evening, or find one of the sweet teachers here who have that experience with kids, and ask them. But in my experience, I know with my girls, you do have to be sensitive to the fact that, man, bodies are changing, blood sugar is an issue, having enough sleep's a big, big, big thing, stress, homework, do I look good enough, body image stress, boyfriend stress, all that kind of stuff. All my friends hate me, even though it's not really true, but all my friends hate me, and I think I'm just, how am I going to live? You know, like the level of stress that kids feel is pretty huge. And I think rather than be the pushy parent, which I am I'll self-confess, I can be pushy. It's better for us to take a step back. And it's really better for us to take a step back and say, husband, now's your big chance. I need your help. and weigh it out, you know, because sometimes, not always, but sometimes you yourself can actually be the one who is actually having the attitude and actually not your daughter. I just wanted to throw that out there as an alternative. Okay, so this is a good one. When will I like my child again? That's a good one, yeah. Enough said, we'll just leave that there. Puberty and hormones, I went to 1 Corinthians 12 today, and I was like, I just got to read this to you guys, because I just think it's so sweet that even though it has to do with gifts of the Spirit, I think it's a really incredibly sweet thing to possibly read to your kids, to let them understand that God cares about the body of Christ, but he also literally cares about our body. So in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, it says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. Now, this is just mechanics 101, right? Like, you just have to keep it very simple with your kids. We have been made with certain parts. It's the identity of who we are is not based in the outward. Jesus talked about the inward man that is the most important. But the fact of the matter is, there's the body of Christ, and there's the individual body. And I just think it's really sweet. So there's many parts, and through all of its parts are many. They form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into the body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, kind of like our DNA, right? Whatever it is, it's in our body now. And we were all given to one Spirit. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, I would for that reason not cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason to cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, would there be a sense, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, and this is the part that I think is just so sweet and dear for our kids, God has arranged the parts of in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And it goes on to talk about that. And it is relating to the gifts of the Spirit, but I just think it's a really, really, really sweet way for you to just help your kids accept themselves, the way they've been built, the way their frames are, the way they burn calories or don't, their insulin levels or not, just all of it. It's a whole huge package. Because if you leave that part out, they're kind of left hanging, feeling like, they have that nudge, like, I'm not enough again, I'm not enough again, I'm not enough. And they actually truly really are enough. God's made their body, and it's during their growth years when they're with you that they're starting to figure out how their bodies work. I mean, how many of us didn't really even understand how our bodies worked and actually how much our bodies could do until you literally had children? Then you're like, oh my gosh, that's a whole other part of me that I did not know was like this big productive situation going on, you know? There's just so much for our kids to learn, and there's so much sweetness for you to share with them as moms. So I'm excited to hear stories of really good things of how what you guys are going to be able to share with the kids. So we did talk a little bit about the sleepover, so I'm going to skip that part because it talks about that. When should we stop? As far as dating goes, boy, everybody's just different, guys. I mean, you've got to figure out what you're comfortable with, you know. You can go on a date and your daughter could go on a date and come home pregnant, you know. I mean, that's the reality. But pregnancy, I got to say, it's not the end of the world. Okay, I'm not encouraging single parenting pregnancy. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, do not make the mistake of putting your kids on the pill so that they can avoid pregnancy. Don't do that. And also, don't make them think, if you get pregnant, it's the worst thing in the world. Because I know there is a mom in here that knows a mom whose child got an abortion, and that mom does not know it. And that child got an abortion because of shame in that family towards pregnancy out of wedlock. I'm telling you, it happens. And it happens in the Christian world. So we are hypocrites if we try to think that everything's all freebie-deebie and then you have this issue. So that's why I'm saying this about pregnancy. Life is worthy of being saved. So if that ever happened, just know that, you know, people can handle it, okay? I just don't want our minds to go to abortion. And I don't even think it's cool for you guys to think, let's just put our kids on the pill. Because kids right now, they go on the pill and they forget all about STDs. They forget all about the other damage that can happen to their body. And there's a lot of damage that can happen to their body. I mean, just listen to, if you just go to the CDC, which I know it's all up for grabs right now, like who's really controlling that, but they legit, the National Institute of Health, the CDC, when you look at some of these, the data right now, and this is just an example of why I think it's all a mess and why it'd be much better for you to say, hey, bring your friends over to our house, and hey, we have a curfew, and hey, we're not going to be alone in the bedroom, and hey, just make the rules. Just be the parent, make the rules. Pelvic inflammatory disease is the number one reason for stillborns. We have the highest rate right now of stillborns since World War II. What are we? What have we done to our children? What have we incorporated into our minds that would think that their freedom by having the pill is actual freedom? That's not freedom. So just, this is where it goes back to what we talked about earlier about coming to the Lord in truth, being honest about these things, and not being afraid of what the Lord might lay on your heart for your kids. And it might be that you need to make some more stringent rules. And it's okay. The cost of a life is literally on the line. So that's why these questions, I almost got a couch put out here because I was like, oh my gosh, I just want to lay down and read these questions because they're heavy. The answers are not easy. Every home is different. Every situation and circumstance is different. We have to think about now, yes, but we also need to think about 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years from now and where that little 15-year-old's mind's going to be when she's 40. That's what you have to think. We all have that challenge. You know, we can be very short-sighted. Kids especially are short-sighted. The number one thing we can do as parents is to remember that we're not teenagers. You know, we're the parent. And it's okay for them to not like us. And it's okay. Sometimes you will not like them. And back to that question there. So I think we talked about a lot of these things. Modesty to me is a no-brainer. I mean, you're teaching your daughters and your sons, you know, to be sensitive to the fact that God gave us eyes. And connected to that is our brain and our heart and all the thing that goes in between that can lead to amazing things, but in between can be a whole lot of lust, you know. And I just think it's a really good idea for us to be not, you know, freakishly weird about it. I mean, I know that there's certain, you know, cults and all that do the whole magic underwear and all that stuff. Bizarre. I don't understand it. But, and I have relatives that are in that cult, so I know, it's very bizarre. That's not what sanctifies you. You know, so if your girls like to show their belly or whatever, don't ever let them think that their salvation's on the line because of that. Because that's legalism, and it goes back to being a Pharisee. But on the other hand, let's go over to the other spectrum here. You know, like, just because they maybe have a body that's all that doesn't mean they need to show everybody that it's all that. You know, like, teach them to treasure what God's given them and give them the long-term game, guys. Give them the long-term game. Your body is treasured. It's treasured by God. It was made by God. And you are to protect it and you are to save it. And that goes for the boys, too. It's the same for boys and girls. You know, the respect that the men, you're raising these young men, the respect that they should have for these women should be bar none, the best. Heads and tails above everybody else because you've taught them. You've taught them what it looks like to be polite, to show kindness, to not grab what they want, to not get what they want, to not feed that appetite, to not go after it at any cost, no matter who gets hurt. You're stopping that. And that's what your job is as a mom. So it's really a rich responsibility. It's a high calling. But the payback's so huge. It's so huge. I think we're pretty good on the questions. I think we, you know, pretty much nailed down how can we bring our kids closer to God. I mean, the answer is not that you bring them closer. The Holy Spirit draws all men to himself. And part of that is you living out, you know, as best you can and then keep on pointing them to Jesus, you know. And at a certain point, you do have to let them spiritually go and let them make those decisions. They might be hard. And you might say, oh, no, there's a storm. I could see that there's a spiritual storm for them, you know. Getting back to the horribly sad story of the family that I told you about that was torn apart. You know, this man here that was really hurt as a child and turned to alcohol and drugs to cover up all that pain, you know, he loved the Lord. But there was a situation in his life that he could not get over. He loved Jesus. And I know, you know, he eventually fell and he died. And so he is in heaven though. He is in heaven. His life ended sadly, but he was sick because of sin that was put into him, you know? And this compassion is the biggest thing that we can deal with our kids, is really helping our kids to communicate, to talk with us, and understand that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance, you know? This man was my friend, and he was ill. He was very ill. And he was so ill that it caused him to have an accident and he died. But man, I've got to tell you, he knew he was trapped. He knew he was bound. He knew he wasn't free. He could not break out of it. You guys, as much as you can, like whatever it takes, dump stuff down the toilet, whatever, do it tonight. Whatever, make no provision for the flesh, because it might not be your flesh that's going to get hurt. It might be your child, you know. So I talk to you tonight with just extreme honesty and openness and stemming from lots of stories that we've heard through the years and personal hurt of seeing, you know, lives just torn apart and just the spiritual wreckage. But I've also come tonight to tell you that I'm telling you, God is faithful, you know, and this mama over here that had to go through all that suffering, man, she's doing great. She loves the Lord. She's at peace. She and her daughter have a great relationship. It, like, things are good, you know. We want to pray for this one that got caught up in the mess and help her to come back. But that's our story. That's what we do. That's repentance. That's reconciliation, getting people back into that place where they are at the cross. So I hope that encourages you. If anyone has any questions or you want to stop for prayer, please, please, please just know that back along here, we'll have some gals who would love to pray with you and give you counsel from the Word of God and help you. All right, so take care, and I will see you next week. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you so much for the time we've had together. I thank you for each mom that's here this evening, the life that they represent, the children, the families, the hundreds and hundreds of memories, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of just history, years of history that's represented in this room, Lord, that's already been and that is to come. I just thank you that you are the God of hope. It's who you are. You never give up on us. Your love for us is forevermore. You're faithful to the ever, forever. Your faithfulness endures forever. And we're just relying on you for that, Lord. We love you because of that and so many things that you've done for us. I thank you for the stories that are hard. And I thank you, Lord, that those stories, we gain such strength from these people who have gone through such really, truly terrible, treacherous things. I thank you for the families here that, in the eyes of many, have a maid. I thank you for that, Lord, because you know what? We have times where you do offer us green pasture. And I'm so glad for that, Lord. I'm glad for people that have really great green pasture right now, and they're able to just feel safe as sheep with you as our shepherd. I thank you for those stories, and I thank you for your provision. I thank you for your continued guidance. And I pray now as we just end for this evening that the ladies would just be blessed and encouraged and that you would just go before them and during their prayer time or fellowship time that they would just have joy and also not feel burdened down but feel really just challenged to say game on and live their very, very best with you at the center of their life, Lord. And I just thank you for all you give us and how much you've blessed us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.